Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The New England Patriots continue to do so. 9-1, they beat Rob Parker's Philadelphia Eagles. And yes, yours. Because you think, for some reason, you think Philadelphia is all that.
Oh, but you picked them too. Did you pick them too this weekend?
No, I picked Dallas to win that division.
No, but I'm talking about for that game. Didn't you pick them, Philly?
Yeah, I thought, because New England has struggled on the road.
Wentz in a lifetime.
I was very, and honestly, I was very disappointed in Wentz.
I agree.
Granted, the last throw could have been caught by Aguilar.
It could have been.
Could have been caught. But Wentz, he was uncharacteristically off.
I agree. And that game,
stunning.
It's funny you say that because so was Tom Brady.
Yes, uncharacteristically.
No, I'm saying.
So, but you admit it was uncharacteristic.
But this is
because you like is, you act like it's characteristic.
But this is more and more when you start to look at Tom Brady's numbers, Chris. You got to be a little concerned. Do you see it? You're at least an honest Tom Brady critic.
I keep it
You're
real.
Honest. There are some people who will refuse to say anything negative about Tom Brady, and I'm just being honest. If you're watching and you're looking at the numbers, they aren't pretty. He didn't throw a touchdown yesterday, right? Edelman threw it.
Right.
He didn't even have a touchdown.
The offense has struggled, and he's admitted that himself. I'll get into my critique, but here's Tom Brady. He wasn't happy after the game.
How would you describe the offense?
Up and down, that's what it looks like to me. So, yeah, we probably do everything better.
How would you describe your defense?
They're doing a great job, keeping us in every game.
Tom, are you discouraged right now? A little different than you guys just won.
Yeah, well, we just played for 3 hours, so I think everyone's a little tired.
Obviously, you can hear he is
not happy. He is pissed.
He sounded like Belichick there. That was after the game. And then today on the radio, is it WEEI
in Boston? Yeah.
He doubled down.
The strength of our team is our defense and our special teams. So on offense, we've just got to, we got to take advantage when we get opportunities and, understand that, where our strengths lie and try to play to them and, not give any short fields and not turn the ball over and try to take advantage when we get into the red area to score touchdowns. And that's kind of where our offense is. That's kind of where our team is.
I think that's an honest assessment.
Now, hello. It's me. You smell me?
No.
I stink.
No, stop it. Stop it. All right. Now, you said I'm the honest observer. I'm going to give you some honesty. He does look maybe not like a typical 42-year-old because – typical 42-year-olds don't even play in the league, let alone start. But it does look like you're seeing some age. Okay, his last 7 games, he's completed, he's got a passer rating of 80.6.
Not good.
He's got 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
Which is shocking, Chris. Those are shocking numbers right
so
there.
But here's the thing. Last year, at this very same time, we were saying the same thing. That's where your famous clip you always like to use, worst throw by Tom Brady in 10 years. DJ Tyshirt, can we get that? Worst throw by Tom Brady in 10 years, right?
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
That was last year at this same point.
He didn't have 7 touchdowns and 5 picks, Chris.
No.
The numbers were better than this.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and act like he's individually having a great year. But to put it all on him is just disingenuous.
But the defense.
Who's he throwing to? Julian Edelman this, Julian Edelman that. Julian Edelman is the type of receiver who is dependent on the outer receivers. He needs threats on the outside to be effective. I know he's catching the most balls, but he's your leading receiver. Ben Watson, who I love, but he's old. Rex Burkhead, Philip Dorsett, that's my point. So let's not put it, Tom Brady as a younger man could make gold out of some other substance. he could do a lot with a little. Now at 42, No shame in this. He can't.
All right.
He needs receivers who can make things happen, and he doesn't have them. And that's why their offense can't move. They know their passing game isn't great. That's hurting the running game. So there you have it. But I'm not, now, Baltimore looks dangerous. But let's be honest. If you had to pick, other than Baltimore, is there a team you would say you think will beat New England in the playoffs?
I got three teams in the AFC. The way Tom Brady's playing, I got three teams that could beat the Patriots.
This is just in the line Ravens, with your persona. You know who? The Ravens. Okay, I'll give you that.
I got.
I would love it to be the Chiefs. They're my pick for the Super Bowl.
I got the Chiefs. I'm telling you.
They got their warts.
I understand. They do all over their nose, and they're ugly. But I still would say that the Chiefs, if you told me for one game, could outscore them and Patrick Mahomes has a great game.
So you're saying they wouldn't expose, like they don't have the offensive firepower to expose Kansas City's defense.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
The way that Brady's playing right now, okay?
And
the other one would be—
Brady, let's keep it real, Rob. Brady, you act like it's all on Tom Brady.
No, but I'm just saying, offensively, they wouldn't be able to keep up. And number three— would be Houston on a great day. Not every day. Houston
Not
on a—
yesterday. Not yesterday.
No, they were awful yesterday. God awful. But I'm talking about on a great day. We've seen Watson do it, Chris. Those would be the three teams. I'm just saying who could beat them in a one game.
That's a lot
in a
of
one
wishful
game.
Thinking. The only team, you essentially agree with me. Yeah, on any given Sunday.
I get it.
If the sun shines and it's a beautiful day for Kansas City, sure, they can beat anybody. Same thing with Houston. But really, day in, day out, the only team in the AFC you see that looks better overall than New England is Baltimore.
I get it, the way that they're playing now. But earlier in the year, we liked the way Houston was playing. Would you admit that?
Yeah, they're just
I'm
up
just
and
saying
down,
they're right, but
down.
We did see them light
and
it
I'm,
up.
I'm not going to give up on Kansas City.
Okay, and that's your pick. That's your guy.
Right, I'm going to stick
he
with
He could
them.
Get hot.
Oh, yeah.
And he brought them back last year in the AFC Championship game in the second half after getting shut out in the first half, right?
Right.
So all I'm saying is those are the three teams right now in the AFC. I mean, Sam Darnold did play well, too, this past week. I'm not saying that they
are
would
you,
beat him.
Are you
I'm
holding not. Out hope that they're going to make the playoffs?
No, I'm not holding out. But all I know is right now, Sam Darnold's playing better than Tom Brady. Did you hear me sound the alarm? Sam Darnold.
That was the weakest sound the alarm I've
sound
ever heard
the alarm.
You say. You did not say that
I
with
did.
Gusto.
My chest
That's
is
not
out.
The I'm writing, I'm ripping Rob Parker.
Sound the
I
alarm.
Listen to that. That was heartless. You didn't even mean it. You know you couldn't say that.
Man, but there we are. Tom Brady, he is what he is. And right now,
so are
it's
you
stinking.
Saying he's done?
He looks like a guy who'll be. I'm ready for this. Tom Brady will not NOT be on the New England Patriots next year. I'm convinced more now than ever after watching this stretch that they will part ways. New England will move forward because he looks like a 42-year-old. He might wind up in at Los Angeles.
What if they
win
the Super
with the Chargers?
I
what if they
I'm
don't?
Moving to Mexico.
What if they get there?
What if they don't? I'm
they
just saying the way
they won't. I would think they
the
won't.
The way that they're playing right now.
Who's the alternative?
I just told you.
No, for them.
Oh, for New England?
Yeah. Who's the Stidham?
No,
Jarrett Stidham?
No, Kaepernick. You know how Bill Belichick is.
I mean, keeping it real. I'm not, Robert Kraft, you supposed to be about social justice.
Right. You freed
Jay-Z's boy, though. But I don't know if Jay-Z's down with Cap anymore.
Right?
I don't know
if anybody. Who is down?
I'm down with him. I'm letting y'all know. That's a preview. I'm down with Cap.
I'm over Cap. How
All
about
right.
that?
All right. Go ahead. Run away. Run away. Run away.
I ain't running away. I'm calling it like I see All it. Right. I said I'm over him. I admire the man for what he's done. I'm over it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Big story of the weekend with the NFL, but had nothing to do with an actual game. It, of course, was the reemergence, interesting reemergence of Colin Kaepernick. And the league brought this to pass. This was not Colin Kaepernick bringing himself back out into the forefront of the NFL. It was the NFL doing it by setting up a workout for him last Saturday in Atlanta. Many of you may know the story. It didn't go as planned. He didn't work out in front of the NFL scouts, or at least the 25 at the Falcons facility. He held his own workout at a nearby high school, about an hour away. Eight teams instead of 25 attended. And he spoke afterwards, and here is what Colin Kaepernick had to say.
Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
All right. That was Colin Kaepernick on Saturday. And Rob, what are your thoughts on what went down with Kaepernick this weekend?
I thought Colin Kaepernick sabotaged his own chance to get back into the NFL. I support Colin Kaepernick and what he's done, give up his career, his livelihood. I applaud him because most people aren't man enough to do that, to be over principle over money. Most people, money dictates who they are and what they do. That's just the fact. Right. 99%. There's a handful of fortunate people who have principle over money. Handful. But this thing just didn't make any sense to me, as you have 25 people, scouts from different teams, waiting there for you to do this. If you had a problem with all that beforehand, you should have said that was the case, and you shouldn't have gone through with it. This doesn't work for me. I would love to do it. Let's reschedule it and figure it all out. No. I'm talking about call your own.
Well,
I'm saying, but you didn't have the 25 people there.
Yeah, but you taped it yourself and you can mail it to the 32
teams.
That's fine. That's what they're going to do.
But I'm going to tell you.
And they live streamed it too.
After what went down, I wouldn't be mad at people who just aren't interested in the Colin Kaepernick story anymore. And I'm not talking about the protest, but Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback, after this. I just didn't understand it, Chris. I was left at a loss of why Colin Kaepernick, to me,
why he didn't work out?
Yeah, why he sabotaged his own situation that was set up. And I don't care. You can say whatever you want about the NFL, and I'm the biggest critic of this league, one of the biggest critics, because they get most stuff wrong, and they've done nothing but treat this guy poorly. But in this case, I did not understand what the hell the NFL was going to get out of reopening this ugly wound that they've had. Their ratings are up. They're making money. They're ready. It's a stretch run going on in the NFL. The story that's going on was not about Colin Kaepernick. Only two guys are kneeling currently. The story's on the back burner. He hasn't played for 3 years. They paid him a settlement. They did all this other stuff. There was no reason to even do this.
Actually, even when they did it,
in my opinion, Chris, that's all. And even when they did it, it still wasn't good enough. And I get it. Everything is not going to be perfect the way you want. I felt like this was Burger King puts up a sign in the window that says, "We interview Tuesdays at 3 o'clock. Have you ever seen those signs? We interview Tuesdays at 3 o'clock. And Colin Kaepernick said, "No, Saturday at 4 is better for me." It doesn't work like that. We all compromise ourselves. It's never exactly the way we want it. We work at major companies. There's a lot of stuff that at major companies, Chris, we worked at ESPN, Fox, that they do stuff that we don't like and we don't agree with. So we all have to sometimes, some way, compromise ourselves in order to work for these places, because they're never going to be on page with you all the time and do everything you like. So I wish Colin Kaepernick the best of luck. I hope he plays football again. But Chris, after Saturday, I do not. And I was very optimistic before this.
I was surprisingly optimistic.
I was very optimistic. I do not believe Colin Kaepernick will ever play in the National Football League again. I think what he did Saturday will have soured people for even wanting to give him an opportunity.
That's solid, and that's a take that a lot of people have. Probably most people that I've seen on television comment and things like that. I see it a little differently. I don't think, and I said this from the get-go, I didn't think the NFL's offer was in good faith. If it had been in good faith, they had not talked, had conversations with Colin Kaepernick since February when they settled on his grievance with the Players Association over collusion. Okay. Out of the blue, they call him and say, we're setting up a workout for you on Monday. You got 2 hours to accept. Okay, they say, well, can we do it on a Tuesday when most GMs and coaches who make the decisions will be there? No, it's got to be Saturday. Okay, can we do it on a future Saturday, maybe 2-3 weeks away, give us a little more time to prepare? No, it's got to be this Saturday. If you're trying to help a guy, why unnecessarily make those types of demands on him? So I felt like it wasn't in good faith. And the biggest reason beyond those, I mean, even having it in Atlanta, why Atlanta? Why not more in the center of the country, you know, 3 hours away from everybody instead of, you know, West Coast people really going all the way to Atlanta, you know, on a day before a game? But anyway, beyond all that, the contract, that's the waiver they wanted him to sign, and I'm not a lawyer. I would not know this, but for reading what lawyers said about the contract, Mike Florio, who works for Pro Football Talk in NBC Sports, he said, as a lawyer, Mike Florio is a lawyer. He said, as a lawyer, I could not in good conscience have my client sign that waiver. He said it would be, this is a direct quote, malpractice. And the reason is because had Colin Kaepernick signed the waiver the NFL gave him, he would have given up his right to sue the NFL for collusion in keeping him out of the league. So I think he was right in not to sign that. They presented the NFL with a different waiver. The NFL wouldn't sign it. So he went ahead and, in my view, kind of one-upped them and had his own workout. Now, Rob, here's something, and you may not have thought about this, because you more than anyone are – you, as much as I – all the people I know, you as much as anyone defend the media's rights. Colin Kaepernick, one of the things he wanted at the workout, he did want his own group to be able to film the workout because rightfully, understandably, he doesn't trust the NFL, okay? So he said, I want my own crew there, and I want the media there. He wanted it open to the media. The NFL said no. Why? Your combines are open to the media. They're on television. Why can't Kaepernick's workout be on television? He doesn't trust this the NFL, and he didn't trust them to make sure they didn't doctor the workout or whatever. So just what? Say it didn't come out well. So, Rob, what I see is this. At best, with the stipulations they put on Kaepernick, the NFL wanted him to – they wanted to put him in his place and make him kiss the ring. At worst – this was a sham set up to get him to sign that waiver. So then when no NFL team signed him, he would not be able to sue. Now, he can still sue. His first suit was a grievance with the Players Association. That was what was settled. He can still sue the NFL on his own in a court of law. That the why in the world is he not in the NFL? Now he's got a workout tape. It was live streamed. A scout said he still got his fastball. You can look at his stats from his last time in the NFL. Compare him to Josh McCown and Matt Moore, all these other guys that have been signed by the NFL. And you probably can make a strong case. If he's not in the NFL in a year, you could probably make a strong case in the court of law that it was due to collusion.
Well, my only case, Chris, is you – with all the points you bring up, Why you didn't have to agree to any of it. And I understand that, but I'm just talking about once this thing went on, you say that now, but you talked to somebody close to him that said,
oh, he had to go. But he turned it around and came up with something where he didn't have to
but
go.
But I'm not talking about, I'm just saying at that point, if you didn't want to do that, you didn't even have to do that. I still think he has a strong case with him throwing a live stream or not.
Should he give up his right to sue?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what he would have had to do.
I wouldn't have signed the paper either. That's okay. Why you have lawyers. But I'm talking about the whole way it went on. Colin Kaepernick, Chris, if he would have made that case, if he would have made that case on the reason he would not take part in this with the NFL and made that case, I think, right?
Let me jump on that. I agree.
Make the case. The one area
I disagree with Kaepernick is the way he came out and talked about stop running the NFL. Y'all running, you know. I get it. He, I respect him standing up. He didn't want to kowtow to the league, but there's a way to keep your dignity and not kowtow, and yet still be respectful. Had he come out after his workout and said, look, I want to thank the NFL for offering me the chance to work out. Unfortunately, we couldn't agree on legal terms. And my counsel advised me not to sign the waiver. But I think my camp made the best of it. We had our own workout. It went well.
That's totally different from what went down.
We're going to send this to the 32 teams, which they are, and hopefully one or some of them will see that I still have what it takes to play in the NFL. If he had done that, I think he would have had a A-plus afternoon. Instead, you're right. The way he came out was belligerent. It was challenging the owners that he wants to work for. And I see that point of it. But here's the difference, too, with Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick is in a unique position. Most people have to play by the rules of the system. And if he wants to play in the NFL, he probably has to play by the rules
of
the system.
Not probably. He will have to play.
And I'm going to explain why it's probably. But he also, if he's as passionate about his activism as he is about playing in the NFL, that he doesn't have to bow. He is probably in a position where I want to play in the NFL, but if not, I'm not going to bow down and I'm going to do it in my way. And if they don't let me in my way, then I'm content doing the activism. And unlike most activists, he has the money through Nike, through the money he gained from the lawsuit, and from the money he made in the NFL during his career. He has the money to be able to flip his nose at the NFL and say, I'm content doing what I'm doing. If y'all don't let me in my way, then I'm fine not being in.
You think he's going to get let in his way?
Well, I'm asking you after Saturday. I'm about to tell you. Muhammad Ali beat the United States government. He never kowtowed, and he didn't take back all that he had done by not going to Vietnam, and he won in a court of law. I do think it's possible that Colin Kaepernick, if he sues the NFL for collusion, based on the workout, based on the scout saying he still has his fastball, based on his stats from when he last played in the league, based on his age, based on what some of these players that they've signed in the NFL, there you can make a strong argument that the reason he's not in the NFL is based on some type of blackballing and collusion. And I think he might be able to win in a court of law. Now, it might be money, or some owner or the NFL could say, look, put him on the team. Let's settle. We don't want to go to court over all this. They didn't want all their records out in the grievance with the Players Association. You think they want him in a court of law?
But you got to admit, this is the big thing. Collusion is a hard thing. When the baseball players beat the baseball owners in collusion, Chris,
yep,
they had a memo. Do not sign these free agents.
Right.
There was a paper trail. It's almost impossible to get people to agree without there being some meeting. Now, if you uncover some meeting or some document or...
But you said why? But you're right.
That's
but remember, in the first suit, the grievance with the Players Association, the NFL didn't even want it to get to that point because, as you said, they don't want their phone records emails. Just because of other stuff. Now, it's the same thing in court.
But a lot of people, this is why people settle, though, is what I'm trying to say to you.
So a settlement might include Goodell saying, look, to the Rams or whoever, look, sign the dude.
He
told him to sign Michael Sam. Sign him.
I'm going to tell you, I find it hard
to believe.
I don't believe he's going to get in the NFL again. I really don't.
Do you think the NFL's offer was in good faith?
No, I think the – only because I'm going off of the whole conversation we had with Weish and NFL reporters who said that teams were asking about him. I do believe that, Chris.
But here's the thing. I talked to somebody close to Cap today. Here's the thing. Because I said the same thing to him. I said, well, teams were calling the league wondering if because of the settlement, could he play?
Right.
Here's what the dude said to me, close to Cap. He said all 32 teams knew. All 32 owners were a part of the settlement. And Roger Goodell, when he introduced Jay-Z that day, said Colin Kaepernick's a free agent. He can sign with any of the 32 teams.
Yeah,
they knew that they could sign him.
I still think that was – I don't see – this is just me, Chris. I don't understand what the NFL gets out of it. All they got was egg on their face, and they got another Colin Kaepernick.
They may have tried to –
Another Colin Kaepernick – being the headlines on an NFL season that we're in the midst of, right? In the final 6 weeks of a season, and the talk is again about Kaepernick, not about football. When the ratings are good, attendance is fine, everything else in the league was going fine. It just seemed very weird to me that they would open this can of worms, and you know what? There's nothing but worms.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We want to bring in our man, the Fox NFL analyst, former Pro Bowl linebacker, LeVar Arrington. LeVar, welcome to the iCouple.
Oh, man. Dream come true, man.
Come on. You appreciate you.
It's great to have you on, my man.
Let's try to bring my A game.
Hey, we know you do. Let's start with Dak Prescott. You are one that believes – I've said from the beginning, he is en route to becoming an elite quarterback, and Rob has tried to fight me on it, but it's obvious now.
It ain't obvious to me.
You're one that thinks he should be high in the MVP conversation. Explain to us why.
Well, hold on now. I didn't say high.
Okay.
I said he should be in the conversation.
So now, is that a deep conversation? Like, I agree he's probably five or six deep.
Yeah, it's probably four or five in the hole, but he's in the conversation. I mean,
right.
I think that's a compliment in itself to be, you know, a four loss team and still be playing well enough where you could be in the overall MVP conversation. I think he should be proud of that. I mean, it's something to build on.
LeVar, are you ready? Stop it! What are you talking about? Here's the problem. Dak has yet to beat a team with a record over 500. His six wins are against the Giants twice, the Redskins, the Dolphins, the Eagles, and the Lions. Those teams are combined with a 15-44-1 record. Dak Prescott's MVP talk is fraudulent. You couldn't buy a hot dog with it. It's a fake $3 bill. Nothing
like
that he's done.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead, LeVar.
but no, I like it. I have to deal with that with Whitlock as well. So it's all right. I got it. And I understand it. But my response to that would be, in those losses that take place, he's generally, and I hate to indict him like this, but he's generally losing games where the Cowboys are getting out-coached. So it's not that it's his performance is the reason why they lost those games. You look at his stat lines are strong even in those losing efforts.
Wait a minute, LeVar.
More so to me, he's getting out-coached.
Did you see the game against New England? I mean, against New Orleans? They lost to a team without Drew Brees, a team that didn't even score a touchdown, and Dak Prescott couldn't win that game?
Four other teams lost to that team with Teddy Bridgewater as well.
Thank you. Without scoring a touchdown?
For what it's worth, Teddy Bridgewater could be in the MVP conversation slightly as well with the way that he carried those New Orleans Saints through that five-game stretch that Your Breeze was out, so
your MVP list runs deep.
The MVP race around lightly, but since you threw New Orleans out there, New Orleans is a pretty good team with pretty good structure, with pretty good coaching. Last I checked, and I think that structure is probably the difference as to why Teddy was able to get in and have success, and they were able to beat the Dallas Cowboys. But yes, Dak is should be he should. His body of work says that he should be in the conversation. Now, I don't think that he's in contention of winning it. He's not a threat to win it, but he should be respected enough to be in the conversation.
The guy that is leading it, Lamar Jackson. I mean, you were a linebacker. First, talk about the difficulties that he presents for linebackers with all their deception and play action and so on and so forth, and then, of course, his running ability. But also, how sustainable is what he's doing? Like, I just wonder if at some point teams will either figure it out with tape or he might get injured with running so much.
I think that's the great unknown. I don't think we know how talented Lamar Jackson is. So it's difficult to try to say how sustainable is it, because no one is really hitting him. You know, it's crazy. I did play against Mike Vick, and I caught up to him a couple times. We poked fun. He was on the show today. We talked about how eventually we started catching up to Mike Vick a little bit and getting hits on him. I can't believe that there's any guy that is so athletically gifted that guys, for one time, like one play, can't catch up to him and give him a hit that possibly alters the rest of his career. That's a hard proposition for me to say that wouldn't happen, and how long can he go before something like that happens. But with that being said, I know everybody has to account for somebody on the defensive side of the ball. And when you have a quarterback that is gifted and can run, you got to try to account for him, and generally you try to put a spy on him or somebody's going to watch him. The thing that I'm seeing with Lamar Jackson is that he is more athletic than anybody that they're putting on him to try to spy him or to try to, you know, limit his ability to get to the open field and run. His decision-making is so like, it's really, really superior, and it seems very mature and well thought out. I don't know that we've seen a guy who protects the ball, throws when it's time to throw, runs when it's time to run. I don't know that we've seen a guy quite of his ilk thus far. So it's hard to say if it's going to go one way or the other in terms of longevity, success-wise, or injury.
Former Pro Bowl linebacker LeVar Arrington joining the Odd Couple.
Hey, LeVar, a lot of people, when you look at scouting in the NFL and different things, people, I just can't get over, I guess, how bad some of the scouting is. People were telling Bill Polian said that he should try out as a wide receiver and that he couldn't be a quarterback in the NFL. And a lot of people were saying that about
Lamar.
I want to say LeVar. Yeah. Lamar.
It gets a tongue twister.
It is a tongue twister.
But I happen to be LeVar, so I don't get twisted up. I know him and I know me. So
right, so you're good
up
on that. But what do you make of that, though, how some people could be so wrong? Bill Polian is in the Hall of Fame as an evaluator of talent and GM, but how could people be so wrong about this kid?
Well, I think when you have someone as talented as Lamar is, and you have not seen exactly what he represents, you're going to go down the side of conventional wisdom. And there's nothing wrong with erring on the side of caution and using conventional wisdom, especially if you want to see a guy make the right decision for what his career could look like, or the right decision for a GM to make. But then you get into somebody who gets it the way that our, you know, the GM for, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name. He just retired. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, come on.
Bill Polian?
No, tight end, Raven.
No, you're talking about the Ravens.
Yes.
Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome.
I don't know why I stuck on that. But, I mean, he saw he saw what he needed to see and knew what he needed to know, and obviously has been a genius on evaluating talent and seeing potential and what guys can bring to the table. So I just think that Bill Polian was bringing to the table what he felt was the best interpretation for him as it applied to what he felt Lamar's skill set would be best served in the league.
LeVar, we got about 90 seconds left. What's your take on the Kaepernick situation from this weekend?
Well, in 90 seconds, I'll say
right. I'm sorry about that.
What I came away with is if not running a 40-yard dash, not running multiple receiver routes, not going through read progressions and different things like that, I felt as though it wasn't 100% or even close to 100% about it being football-related. And my conclusion, this is where I come to today. This is where I'm at. I have no problem with Colin Kaepernick wanting to be a football player or wanting to be someone who fights for social justice. Just tell us what you want. Tell us what you're doing. Because I just feel like everything has kind of been put together. It's all meshed together now. I don't know.
Can he want both? Can he want both?
Fight for social justice.
Can he want both, LeVar? Is that possible?
Yeah, why not?
Right.
You can want both. I like burgers and fries, man. I don't feel like I got to choose between a burger and the fries. Matter of fact, if I want to add a shake, I just got to tell them that I want a milkshake, a burger, and fries. I just think if Cap just tells everybody what his intentions are, I think he would be more. And listen, from his following, he's fine, right?
Right.
But I think if he wanted to garner more respect from NFL GMs and execs or from the media. And you guys ask yourself this question. If he was just honest and said, listen, as Colin Kaepernick, this is what I want to get accomplished, wouldn't you respect it more if he just told you, I do want to represent social injustice, but I also want to represent Colin Kaepernick in this way?
And here's right? I think he's told us without saying it. I mean, he's always said he wants to stay in the NFL.
But here's my problem.
NFL, and he hasn't. Waffled on his commitment to the social justice.
Here's my other problem, too, is you can't say you don't trust the NFL, but you're going for a trial for the NFL. If you don't believe in the institution and what they've done to you, it doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't want to work there. I wouldn't want to be there.
Have African-Americans always trusted America?
No,
but the United States government?
No,
but we fought for it. We've worked
no,
for it.
No, but that's not. No, you got it wrong on that.
You know we haven't trusted this country.
But, all right, we'll do more of it.
LeVar, great
thank
stuff,
you, buddy.
I appreciate y'all having me on, but I want y'all's conclusion on this, so make sure y'all shoot it my way, man. I want to know the end of this.
All right, we're going to get you on again, too.
Yes, we'll give you way more time.
We should have started with Kaepernick,
yes.
Right?
All right.
All right, brother.